about 8 minutes after the hour. This is Monitor. I'm Brad Crandall. I picked up a copy of the Saturday Evening Post yesterday and saw on its cover a picture of the Fisher quintuplets of Aberdeen, South Dakota. They were 3 years old this week. I tell you what, let's put in a call to their mother and see what it's like to have 5 3-year-olds in one batch. We'll talk to her right after this from Trini Lopez.
Una, dos, una, dos, tres, cuatro.
Nació en Chihuahua en 906, en un tepeyate bajo un ciprés. A los 2 años hablaba inglés, mató 2 hombres a la edad de 3. Pancho, Pancho López, chiquito pero mató. ¿De veras? A los 4 años sabía montar su carabina, sabía pulsar. A 30 yardas lo vi de apagar un ojo a un piojo y sin apuntar. Pancho, Pancho López, valiente como un león. ¡Ajúa! ¡Ajúa! A los 5 años sabía cantar, tocaba guitarra y hasta bailar, y su papá lo dejaba fumar y se emborrachaba con puro mezcal. Pancho, Pancho López, chiquito pero mató. ¿De veras? A los 6 años se enamoró, llegó a los 7, pues se casó. Lo que tenía que pasar pasó. A los 8 años papá resultó. Pancho, Pancho López, se fue a la revolución. ¿De veras? ¡Ajúa! ¡Ajúa! Aquí la historia se terminó, porque a los 9 Pancho murió. Y el consejo de la historia es: no vivan la vida con tanta repitez. Pancho, Pancho López, viviste como un ciclón.
Fisher of Aberdeen, South Dakota, this week had what they hoped would be a kind of a quiet birthday party for their 3-year-olds. But since there are 5 3-year-olds in the Fisher family, quiet is kind of rare. We have Marianne on the monitor open line right now. Marianne,
yes?
How did the birthday go?
Well, the birthday was kind of quiet. We had one girl that had the mumps in the house.
I see. Well, that in itself must have been something of an accomplishment to have quiet with, what, 11 kids altogether?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't quiet. I mean, we didn't have a big celebration.
Tell me, with this many youngsters, what do you do about family chores? Do they all pitch in, or?
Oh, yes. Everybody does their bit.
Everybody does a little helping. Just for the record and for remembrance, because I've forgotten, and I imagine a good many people have, what are the names and of the quints?
Of the Quint?
Yeah.
Oh, Mary Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Magdalene. Mary Margaret. And James Andrew.
Well, aren't you going to, you know, yell Mary someday and suddenly be knee-deep in kids?
Oh, no. We call them Kathy, Maggie, Margie.
Ah, I see.
Mary Ann.
Go by the second names or by nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's the most mischievous of the bunch?
Well, now that would be telling tales.
Well,
I don't like to tell.
They'll never know. We won't tell anybody else.
No, I won't tell tales. I'm
all right. How about curiosity?
Oh, they each have their own times. I think when you know, one will be carried at one time. And...
Do you have any trouble telling them apart?
Not really.
You know, I once knew a man in Kansas City years ago who had to name his kids starting from the oldest and down the list till he got the one he wanted. He couldn't seem to remember their names that way. And if you tried that, you'd probably be all day before you get the one you wanted out of the group. How do the Saturday Evening Post article says that the kids communicate with each other without words. How?
Well, I don't know. They all talk pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Even the baby talks a lot.
And understandably, words, you know, words they can...
I think they meant baby talk, you know.
Oh, I see.
Babies have a way of getting things what they want, you know, talking.
Well, now, the Quints are not the youngest, right? There's one baby behind them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are five others ahead of them.
Right.
Now, how old is the oldest?
He'll be 11 the 5th of October.
The oldest is 11. And the baby, of course, is what now, but...
He'll be 2 next Saturday.
I see. Well, with the, I suppose the 11 and the ones who are older do help a great deal in taking care of the Quints, huh?
Oh, they help me a lot.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Fisher. You seem to be coping beautifully with something that everybody would think would be a great big problem.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I would like to thank all the people all over the world for helping me do that, from all the kind letters and gifts and words of confidence and things that they've given to me.
I bet you've also gotten an awful lot of advice, though, haven't you?
I have. Some I've taken, some I haven't.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Fisher. Bye-bye. Mary Ann Fisher, the mother of quintuplets, quintuplets, if you prefer, who celebrated their third birthday this week on the 800-acre family farm in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Unlimited. Would you believe it? That theme described a young lady. Her name is Modesty. My name is Brad Crandall, and I'll be back in 1 minute with Shelby Flint, Steve Lawrence, and Sam Levinson, all on the Monitor Beacon. Think weekend, think monitor, think Brad Crandall. And right now, think music. Cast your fates with Shelby Flint.
A month of nights, a year of days, October's drifting into May's. I set my sail when the tide comes in. I just cast my fate to the wind. shift my course along the breeze. Won't sail up wind or memories. The empty sky is my best friend. I just cast my fate to the wind.
At Chalk's Flying Service, only Leonard, the freight manager, and Mrs. Franklin in the office smoked L&M's. Now Ned Ames has come over. When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Come on over for the taste of it. Come on over to the L&M side.
When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Sing a song of sad young men, glasses full of rye. All the news is bad again. Kiss your dreams goodbye. All the sad young men sitting in the bars, knowing neon nights, missing all the stars. All the sad young men drifting through the town, picking up the night, trying not to drown. All the sad young men singing in the cold, trying to forget that they're growing old. All the sad young men choking on their youth, trying to be brave, running from the truth, while a grimy moon watches from above all the sad young men play at making love. Misbegotten moon, please shine for sad young men. Let your gentle light
happy young man in most circumstances. Steve Lawrence on Monitor. You know, recently, headlines revealed a new shortage of teachers in our schools, but fortunately, there is no shortage of one former teacher, Sam Levinson. Sam has just written a book called Everything But Money, which offers advice to parents. And Monitor reporter Alan Jay talked with him.
Sam Levinson, author of Everything But Money. One thing about you has always puzzled me, and perhaps some of our Monitor listeners. Why do you laugh at your own jokes?
Now, what makes you think I laugh at my own jokes?
Touche. No, but seriously, as they say,
I have a tendency to laughter. It doesn't matter if it's my jokes or your jokes. If you told a good joke, I would laugh, and if I tell a good joke, I laugh. Did you ever see me when I tell a joke and it's not a good one? I look like the most terrified man in the world.
Now, turning to your book, what would you say is the best piece of advice you have to offer parents if you could single it down?
Well, there's a difference between being a biological parent, which anybody can achieve, you know, without too much effort, and being a mother and father. I think that if you know the difference, you can become a good parent. A mother and father are people who have to perpetuate the human race on its highest level. Otherwise, there's no point in bringing children into the world. Now, you have to protect and nourish your product so that finally it becomes worthy of living as a human being, which means you have to fight off all the mediocrity and the nonsense to see that they have decent schools, to see that they have decent homes, and you also have to deny yourself a great deal to see that these things come true.
Everybody has to take a blood test before he becomes a married person. Would you suggest, perhaps, that everyone take some kind of a mental test or psychological test for
parenthood? I'm a test. It depends on who devises tests, you know. There are some very simple people who make a great contribution to the human race, who may not be great intellects, who serve well, who are kindly, and produce good, kindly, worthwhile human beings. And there are a lot of intellects who could pass all kinds of tests, who can produce monsters and raise monsters. I'm afraid of being tested. It's hard to test this thing called character or gentleness or kindness.
You seem to be selling the good old days. Were they really the good old days?
I'm not selling the good old days. I'm saying that there were great masses of people who were poor, who were not miserable, who were not dirty, who were taking full advantage of every American opportunity offered, who educated ourselves and lived in pretty good comradeship with our fellow men, and we overcame the ghetto, and I think it's about time that we talk very frankly about these hundreds of thousands of people who've been through the poverty stage in their lives and told other people about their methodology, their strategies. What did they do that produced good, healthy, productive human beings? I'm not saying, you know, there were a lot of things. There were lean days, there was discomfort, there were many things. But tomorrow was going to be a great tomorrow. I was dead sure of that. And there was only one way of doing it. You had to do it yourself. Educate yourself, work for it, study for it. Everybody worked. I was in a factory. Really, everybody was working towards a greater tomorrow in the home.
Thank you, Sam Levinson, author of Everything But Money. This is Alan Jay for Monitor.
Bert Kempfert's orchestra. They gave us all nothing but love, which, well, you know, this is Monitor, which gives nothing but news, information, and entertainment. It's heard every weekend all across the country. Out in Marietta, Ohio, Monitor's heard on WMOA. I'm Brad Crandall.
Driving tonight, take Monitor with you on the NBC Radio Network.
This is Monitor, topical, informed, and entertaining. In 2.5 minutes, the very latest on the pennant races and other sports news with Len Dillon. Then, music with Barbara Streisand, Bobby Norris, and an exciting Brazilian group. And a preview of what's to come on and off Broadway. The Lease Breakers introducing us to Mexican Pete, as we might have been introduced to him by the Tijuana Brass. And speaking of introductions, at the Monitor Sports Desk, Len Dillon, with Today in Sports, plus a look at the week ahead.
Thanks, Brad. Philadelphia beat the Dodgers, and Pittsburgh turned back San Francisco in the red-hot National League pennant fight, but more about that in a moment. Right now, pro football scores in the AFL. The New York Jets crushed Houston 52-13, as Joe Namath tossed 5 touchdown passes. Buffalo won its first game of the season, routed Miami 58-24. Boston beat Denver 24-10, and Kansas City 32, Oakland 10. In the NFL, Green Bay nipped Cleveland 21-20, as Jimmy Taylor caught a 9-yard pass from Bart Starr with 2:45 to go for the winning touchdown. Dallas rolled over the Giants 52-7, as Don Meredith threw 5 touchdown passes. Pittsburgh upset the Lions 17-3. Philadelphia beat Atlanta 23-10. St. Louis turned back Washington 23-7. And Johnny Unitas tossed 4 touchdown passes as Baltimore beat Minnesota 38-23. And Unitas now has a career total of 214 touchdown passes, a league mark. 2 better than the old record formerly held by Y.A. Tittle. Now back to baseball. Philadelphia beat Los Angeles 4-0 on a 7-hitter by Larry Jackson, Claude Osteen the loser. Pittsburgh moved to within a game and a half of the Dodgers with a 3-1 win over third-place San Francisco. Woody Fryman the winner on a 4-hitter, Gaylord Perry the loser, and the Giants remain 3 games off the pace. Houston 9, New York 2 in the first of 2. Chicago 3, the Cards 2, Atlanta 9, Cincinnati Reds 4. Over in the American League, Baltimore dropped its 7th game in its last 9 starts, 4-3 to Chicago. However, second place Detroit was beaten by Cleveland 6-5 in 10 innings. Minnesota 5, the Yankees 3 on pinch hitter Bob Allison's 3-run homer in the 10th. California 5, Boston 3, and Kansas City and Washington swapped shutouts. The A's won the opener 3-0. The Senators took the nightcap 1-0. Well, did Oscar Robertson of the Cincinnati Royals join Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell as the only $100,000-a-year players in pro basketball? Well, I spoke to Oscar earlier today at the Royal Training Camp in Oxford, Ohio, to ask him if the story was true.
No, Len, the newspaper report is not quite accurate, but I received a very good salary, and I'm very happy about my salary as well as the Royals, and I'm looking forward to a very good season.
Oscar, were you prepared to hold out for the entire season if the Royals didn't meet your demands?
This, I feel, in my negotiation with the Royals, is a business transaction and something that we had to get settled. I was preparing to hold out. I'm sure the Royals are well aware of this, but I'm glad we got the matter settled and I can look forward to another season.
Say, Oscar, did that fabulous $200,000 three-year contract signed by New York Knickerbocker rookie Cazzie Russell play any part in your negotiations?
No, it didn't, Len. I feel I'm very happy for Cazzie to get the money from the Knicks because in sports, you only have a certain amount of time to earn money. I've been told that I felt about Bill's salary as well as Wilt's salary when I was dealing with the Royals for my own salary, but this is something I don't worry about. I'm happy for any ball player to get whatever he can from a ball team.
Oscar Robertson, Cincinnati Royals All-Star. Thanks, Oscar. And later today, Monitor host Brad Crandall will be talking to pro basketball's highest-paid rookie, Cazzie Russell of the New York Knicks. Now looking ahead, hockey intrudes in the sports scene tomorrow as the New York Rangers open their training camp in Kingston, Ontario. Tuesday, Floyd Patterson fights Henry Cooper in London. Wednesday, two up-and-coming heavies, South American champ Oscar Ringo Bonavena of Argentina and Olympic champ Joe Frazier, meet in a Madison Square Garden 10-rounder. Thursday, the pro basketball exhibition season opens with the Knicks meeting the 76ers at Allentown, Pennsylvania. And on Saturday, the $75,000 added futurity at Aqueduct. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Len Dillon here for more features and news from the world of sports. Stay tuned to Monitor.
Having once used French lyrics for this music, Barbara Streisand tries it now in English.
Free again, back to being free again, back to being me again, with all my precious freedom, my precious, precious freedom. I'd know before I ever knew him, before I ever knew him. Free again, independent me, free again. Time to call up all the crowd, raise the roof and shout out loud. Time to have a party, a party. Lucky me, take a look at lucky me, take a look and you can see how much I love my freedom, my precious, precious freedom. Simple me, complicated, simple me. Back to where I used to be, before I ever knew him, before I ever knew him. Free again, lucky, lucky me, free again. Back in circulation now, time for celebration now. Time to have a party. again.
Brad Crandall here, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. It's 13 minutes until the hour, and time for a little interpolation, which means putting one song inside another song. Sergio Mendez and Brazil 66 demonstrate how it works.
This is just a little samba put up on a single note. Other notes are bound to follow, but the root is still that note. Now this new one is a consequence of a one that just improved, as I'm bound to be the unavoidable consequence of it. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say nothing or nearly nothing. I have used up all the skill I know and at the end I come to nothing or nearly nothing. So I come back to my first note, as I must come back to you. I will pour into that one note all the love I feel for you. Anyone who wants the whole show, Remy Fasolatito, he will find himself with no show better play than a chill and talk and talk and just say nothing or nearly nothing. I have used up all the skill I know, and at the end I've come to nothing or nearly nothing. He will find himself with no show better play the note you know. He will find himself with no show better play the note you know.
And now, Monitor on stage. One of the most durable improvised comedy characterizations has been the 2,000-year-old man created by Mel Brooks. Here he is with Carl Reiner.
A few months ago, a man came from the East who claimed to be 2,000 years old. And since then, many thousands of letters have come in asking us to put certain questions to him. His vast fund of information, his knowledge of the past, would be invaluable to historians throughout the world. Sir, would you discuss with us, for instance, somebody like William Shakespeare?
About a pussycat.
Now, wait, are you saying that you knew
about
him personally?
About a pussycat.
You did know him personally?
Oh, but that little beard, with that cute hair.
And as...
Oh, but he was good and smart.
Yes,
was he smart?
It was reputed, and I guess you're agreeing, that he was the greatest writer of
time. Oh, no. Hey, hold up. Hee-haw. Whoa.
What do you mean, sir? You just said he was brilliant smart, and I said he was the greatest writer
of all. Cute man. And a pussycat.
Yes, but not a great writer?
Not a good writer at all.
He was not a great writer.
Shakespeare was not a good writer, no.
Well, how can you say that? Well, he wrote 37 of the greatest works.
Did you ever see the original, the first folios?
You mean they were edited by somebody
else? Never mind edited. Did you see the folios?
No, I never saw them. Did you see them?
I saw the folios. You want to see what they were? With blots, with ink, with an L that looked like a T, but an M you didn't know was an N. An O could be a P. Every letter was cockeyed and crazy. Don't tell me he was a good writer. He had the worst penmanship I ever saw in my life.
Oh, I see what you mean, sir. I see. But he did. He did, as it was reputed, he did write 37 of the greatest plays of
38.
All. I only know of 37. Would you care to look at this list, sir?
Is the list that has come down through the ages.
Those are the 37. Are there any that should be there?
Yes.
What's that?
Queen Alexandra and Murray.
I
never heard of that, huh?
No, I never did. Was there any... Is there any copy of this in existence?
This is a play that I put invested money in.
Well, it probably was the only one that didn't come to light.
Come to light? It closed in Egypt.
Well, sir, do you remember... Do you remember any of the dialogue of Queen Alexandra and Murray?
Yes. Queen Alexandra turned to Murray and said, "What ho, Murray! What could it have been that I have seen? Is it not in my marrow? Are we not of one on ourselves?" And he would say to her, "What are you hollering?"
Great dialogue. No wonder it closed in Egypt. That couldn't have even got past the critics in New Haven.
La 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 la. That's pain. La 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 la. La 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 la. La
la la la la la.
The world is a wheel. Keep going around. Today you are up.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you're down. But you'll never fall off with your feet on the ground. The stepping stone. La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la. The world is a wheel.
Yeah.
Keep going around. Today you are up. Tomorrow you're down. But you'll never fall off with your feet on the ground.
Bobby Norris. Sounds like she's cheering up a little bit. In spring, a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love. In fall, our man on Broadway, Leonard Probst, soberly turns his thoughts toward what he's going to see and hear in the coming season.
This being the next to last Sunday in September, opening nights are arriving as fast as traffic tickets tagged onto automobiles that double park along Broadway. On Monday, the New York Film Festival's fourth international show opened. The night before last, a new Metropolitan Opera opened, and this coming Thursday, the Broadway season gets underway with Edward Albee's new play, A Delicate Balance. With all these openings, there are two new significant developments. One is that Broadway is moving northward, about 2 miles north along the Great White Way, which is where the new Metropolitan Opera is located, at about 64th and Broadway. And also, for the first time, the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts is now fully operational. That means that all of its dance, music, opera, film, drama, and experimental theaters are working for the first time since the center's building program was started. That was 7 years and $166 million ago. The New York Film Festival, now running at Lincoln Center, is different from most. There are no girls in bikinis, no press agents, no prizes, and this year, for the first time, no American feature-length movies. This is a serious film affair, culled from the best movies at other festivals. However, even these films aren't avant-garde enough for some of the young, underground American filmmakers. They staged a protest on opening night by putting on a fake funeral demonstration. In their words, the film festival is dead, and anyway, as one of them told me, nobody under the age of 30 has a movie in it. The festival opened with a good Czechoslovakian film called Loves of a Blonde. It's a tender, human story that set some kind of a first in that it was the first Eastern European film with a nude love scene, but one that was handled frankly and honestly. On Friday night, the Metropolitan Opera opened its new $46 million home with the world premiere of a new American opera commissioned for the occasion, Samuel Barber's Antony and Cleopatra. A cast of 400, headed by Leontine Price and Justino Diaz, sung in English with every word taken from the Shakespearean play. Operas by Americans have not been especially successful in the past. In Europe, they are largely ignored. The Met, in its own 83 years, has performed only 21, none of which are in its current repertory. Broadway's new season looks great right now, full of promise. But how it will look later is something else. Usually there are 50 new shows a season on Broadway, and 1 in 6, on an average, is a success at the box office, which is where Broadway counts success. All of which means that if Broadway runs along at its previous pace of flops and hits, the season will end with 8 hits and 42 financial failures. This is Leonard Probst, NBC News. That's it from Broadway.
Something brand new as Al Keola rides shotgun through the hill country. Now, Monitor News on the hour. Stay tuned. This is Brad Crandall.
This is Dr. Joyce Brothers. I'll be joining regulars Chet Huntley and Bill Cullen on Emphasis, starting Monday, September 26th on NBC Radio.